Banta with Tony and Mimi. A cross-generational conversation between a millennial.
Here comes Susan now. She wants to show me. And then I'm seeing Susan is out of breath. I'm like, oh no, Susan, come on. Come on, Sue.
Oh my gosh.
And a Gen Zer.
I was gifted Renaissance, the vinyl, the package. He got it for me like from Beyonce.com.
That is expensive.
Join us as it is bound to be exhilarating, exciting, entertaining, and healing.
Welcome to another episode of Banta with Tony and
Mimi.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, this is Obeda.
Why are you always telling people my government name?
Oh. Hello, Tony.
Like, hello, 456-782.
Oh my God.
Give me my social security number.
Bro, the last four digits.
I know, she lives at this address.
Yes. Sorry.
Yes, I hope you guys have all had a good week. The holiday season is upon us.
Yes, so. It is. Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy yes. holidays.
Yes.
Christmas is very much close and almost
It's next
upon
week,
us.
Monday.
Yes.
So less than a week away.
Yeah. I'm excited. I love Christmas. I love the holidays. And New Year's is.
Yes. New Year's is always good. I like the fresh start.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. So this will be episode 3 that we are recording, and I guess it's a good time to kind of share what some of our goals are. So we will eventually have video with our podcast, but we wanted to hit a milestone before we did that.
Yeah.
And I think the milestone that we kind of agreed on was once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we will then start doing videos with
guys,
our
Yeah, then you guys can see our beautiful faces.
Yes.
Match the face to the voice.
Exactly. So subscribe, share us with your family, your friends, your
Everybody.
Entire community. So the more subscribers we get, who knows, we might be like on episode 10 and then we have to start doing videos because
reach the goal.
Help us get to our goal because we can't do it without listeners. And eventually too, probably after the fourth episode, we'll start having like input from the audience, because we would have launched by then, which at that point we'll start having segments in each episode where we just kind of take input, comments, anything from our listeners. So we want you guys to know that you guys are going to be an active part of our podcast. And even though we're sharing our, you know, issues and things that we're talking through, we hope that we can at least inspire and help to be a resource for other people who are trying to do that in their lives.
And hear from you guys as well.
Yes. So share your stories with us. Give us your comments. Give us some suggestions.
Yeah.
You know? Tell us if we don't have home training. I'm just
shy.
Hey. You know, somebody
said that. But
you.
Open ears.
I listened
open
to
minds.
That one episode. I did not like the way Mariama was talking to her auntie.
Talking to her auntie like
she
that.
Was
Where's
not
her training?
Seeming like she was trained well.
Hey. Leave me alone.
Let me alone. Let me alone.
Let me alone. Let me be.
Yeah. So. Beautiful. This week, what's your pop culture? Well, I guess I'll start mine, right?
Okay.
Because this is my episode that I'm running this week. So I have the idea for what we're going to talk about this week. And I feel like my pop culture piece kind of ties into it. So I want to talk about Georgia Smith.
Oh.
Oh. Be honest.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah, okay. I thought you didn't know her music. Yeah.
It's the little things that get me
Exactly.
High.
Yep, yeah, her. So Georgia popped up on my TikTok timeline because people are coming at her because all the girl did was gain some weight.
I remember when that was a thing, which was very, I was so confused.
Yes.
Like, I was genuinely so confused because it was a video of her, like, it was a recent performance. I think she kind of got back on stage and was and got back into performing, because I know she did release a new album or whatever. But it was literally the video of her performing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Georgia, because I've not seen her in a while. And then I go to the comments.
Yes.
And then I go to Twitter, and it's commotion about this girl's body, which was insanely confusing to me. And it was frustrating, too.
Yes.
Because, first of all she did was get back on stage, was performing. And for you to think that her new music to be what was talked about, it was actually
exactly.
her to come and
her
see
body.
It was her body was that was being talked about and was being, like, just bashed. She was being bashed and she was being hated and belittled. Because she gained some pounds and she looked full. Like, she was just a little fuller.
Yeah, because I remember at first when I saw the video, I was like, okay, maybe she's pregnant or whatever. But then when I looked at all the other videos, I said, oh, okay, she's just gained weight recently. Because I guess as somebody who has been pregnant before, I'm like, okay, her stomach is not like, there's a way the stomach will look, but it doesn't look like that. Like, you could tell, like, she's gained weight kind of all over. And then there's just so many things. I think for me, after I went through what I did with, like, fibroids and stuff, I'm just very sensitive, because I remember people thinking like I was pregnant. Mm. Every time they saw me, they were like, oh, you were, no, I just have fibroids.
Yeah, she just has like a body.
I have things growing condition. Inside of me. Yeah. So you just never know what that person might be going through. Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
That she could have a health issue that's what's causing her to gain weight. She could have thyroid issues going on. She could have hormonal issues going on.
Issues.
If you take antidepressants, that makes you gain weight. Mm. So can you imagine if she is depressed, she's taking antidepressants.
And then to come see.
She gains weight and then people are saying stuff about her that makes her feel even worse about herself. Like
disheartening.
So it was just crazy, but I think I was happy because, of course, then I went into like a TikTok deep dive, not dig dive. And I was able to see enough comments, especially, I think, from guys. And that was good. And hear me out. I'm not one of those women who think like you need validation from men. But I'm just saying the fact that there were some videos where the guys were like, she looks like a normal chick to me. I don't understand what people are talking about. And then there were videos where I saw where guys were calling out other guys for saying like she's, you know, fat and unfit and all these things. So I thought that was refreshing because sometimes we have to remember when we have these conversations, it's important for us to do it as women, but we also have to include the men in it too. Because sometimes the pressures of how we want to look is also because influenced of comments and things. Gaze. Exactly.
I feel like to bring that in again, like, I don't think women should do anything for male attention or to satisfy the male gaze. But I think what you're trying to say is like to see some men, which is like the gender that would over-sexualize her, to be like, all right, guys, no, she looks fine. She looks, you know, beautiful still. I think is like a good thing to point out because not every man was bashing her.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't outweigh everybody who was.
Yes, there were men bashing her and they should be very much ashamed of themselves because there are things that we used to do back in the day. We're not going to pretend like we have not come a long ways. Even for like me, I know as a consumer, there have been times that I've commented on people's weights online. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, but okay, so like I have to explain myself. So obviously I know better now. I'll never do that again. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the one that I remember in particular that I said something about their weight was like Tenny, the singer, because she used to do these videos where like she would just eat enormous amount of food and just make a joke about it. And I think it came from a place of like, I also have struggled with weight. So I understand sometimes like when you get to a place where you're so comfortable being the butt of the joke, you're thinking, let me make the joke before people make it about myself.
Okay.
So like she will do all these comedic things, but it would be like revolving around food and stuff. And I think probably my comment was probably too harsh now that I look back on it, but thank God nobody knew who I was.
Accountability, guys. She's taking accountability.
Yes.
Yes.
But I just kind of said like, you know, it's funny and all that, but you know, you should watch your weight. It's about your health, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it could have definitely been taken wrong. One, I don't know her personally, so I should not even be commenting on her weight, regardless of if she's online. She's somebody that has put herself in the public eye. It does not warrant me to be able to say that to her.
Yeah.
But I think it's that place that it's coming from sometimes. Even with the Georgia thing, I saw a comment where somebody was saying, you find that a lot of the women even saying the things to her were probably women themselves who have been overweight, right? So I think sometimes
insecurity.
For some of us, it's coming from a place like, I know what that feels like. Oh, like
I've been there before.
Yeah. I know for me, that's what it was. It wasn't like from a hateful place. But again, I would never do that today. Yeah, that was a lapse of judgment for me to make that comment. And then, you have some other people where it's just like you're saying, they haven't dealt with stuff and they're just repeating what other people have said to them.
Yeah.
So it's just such a tricky place that I feel like now I totally understand, like, if the person is not somebody I know in my real life, like, let's just say in some weird world I had known Tenny, that probably would be something I would send to her personal and just be like, oh, what's going on? Is everything okay? I know life has been stressful. And she did lose weight and she looks good. Like, it's not like she's even skinny now, but you can just tell she's healthier. Like, she's just taking care of herself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I was trying to say, but sometimes my delivery is not the best, right?
Accountability. Again, she knows. At least she knows. She's aware.
Yes. Sometimes my delivery is not the best. And we all know I like to comment on things on social media, like in real life. I mean,
yeah,
in real time. But I'm working on it. I don't want to have, you know, things that I say on social media that are hurtful to people or that leaves a negative impression. But I'm always also going to state my opinion and stuff because that's just the type of person that I am. And then look at the kind of platform that we have. Of course, I talk about my opinion on things.
Yeah.
You might not agree with it. You might not like it. But the intention is never to hurt. Okay. Right.
Understandable.
So, yeah. That's my little pop culture thing. Yeah.
See, can I just like, can we just branch it to both of us? Because I ain't got one for real.
You've been that detached from the world that you don't have a pop culture story? Wow, that's good.
It's just
Is there anything going on in your life that you would want to share again, then, I guess? Or a lesson that you learned this week? Or just a little nugget for us?
A little nugget? Okay, what happened this week? What happened? Oh, okay. Well, my coworkers, well, one of my coworkers, okay, so it's all of us. And there was one of my coworkers who was like, okay, guys, I'm going to get you guys gifts. And he was like, I don't care if you give me anything back. And he was just really stressing the importance of him giving us Christmas gifts because like, he's just that kind of person. He's super sweet and he's very thoughtful.
And that might be his love language.
Yeah, I think it is. I think most definitely it is. And I had only known him for like 2 months. And you know my love for Beyonce. And like, I don't, it's like, I don't wear my... I don't wear my love for Beyonce on my forehead. And with him, I've only talked about her like once, and you talked about Renaissance or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so basically, I come to find out on Saturday when he gave us our gifts, I was gifted Renaissance, the vinyl, the package. He got it for me like from Beyonce.com. There was the posters in there. There was the book, the photo album book. And then there was like the two vinyls, like side A, side B, side C, side D.
That is expensive. Okay.
I don't know how much.
When we do White Elephant at my job, we limited to $25.
Oh.
How much did that cost?
I do not know.
You did not even look it up?
I didn't look it up. And he also gave each of us letters to come with our gifts. And he was so sweet. And again, I've only known him for 2 months, not even like a month and a half. And he was just like, in the letter, he was just talking about how he knows that he hasn't known me for so long, but I've already impacted him so much that like, he just knows I'm a light that walks into the room.
And I was going to say, you have so a presence. Happy. You have a presence. It doesn't matter how long somebody has known you.
Yeah. It was so nice to read because those are some things that like I just don't feel sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I guess a lesson or whatever to answer your question is like, sometimes you really don't know how special or how amazing you are until you are told. And
we all need to hear it.
Yeah, we all need to hear it. And
even Beyonce needs to hear how awesome she is.
For real. And yeah, that was just really nice.
Oh, that is so sweet.
It was really sweet.
You know, something that it wasn't until maybe last year I understood it, because it was somebody I was talking to and I was telling them, because gifting is my love language too. And I think like when we're talking about last week's episode, in case nobody figured it out, gifting is my love language. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, she's so
to me
particular about
because
it.
It's like, yeah, that's how you tell me you love me. I was talking to this girl at work and she was telling me the reason why you are such a giver or you do all these things is because you're technically also trying to tell people how to love you too. So it made me think about your coworker that even though you haven't known him long, he's gave you a thoughtful gift because all you did was mention Beyonce once.
Like one time.
Right? And then he wrote a nice note. And then you think about how many encounters as he probably had where maybe he mentioned something to somebody. What are the chances that somebody like him who's such a giver, how many times has he received that back in turn? Because when that's his love language, that's also how he receives love. Right? So it makes me think about, I hope that somebody has done for him what he just did for you guys, which is like, give him a thoughtful gift, write him a thoughtful note, because just as much as it impacted you, that's what he also needs to in his life. So that's just really sweet. And I'm happy that we're in the world that stuff like that is still happening. Because sometimes I just feel like we are so detached now, even though we are in such a social age, but we're really not like actually physically as social as we used to be.
Yeah.
That people don't even do things like that. Because then you think like, why is he giving me a gift? Does he like me? I mean, maybe there's an element of that. I don't know.
No, he has a girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
So it's like strictly platonic.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like, we don't even do that anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Another thing was, okay, so this was also the first time that I've been in an environment with so many guys, right? It's just a lot of male energy, but like all of the connections are strictly platonic. And it's just like a way to like see how you can actually connect with like the opposite sex without having, you know,
all the extraness,
all the drama and all that. And it was literally just a human exchange of him wanting to give his friends or his coworkers a gift. And he did it no matter who it was. And so it was really nice.
That is really sweet of him. Okay, so you see, it doesn't necessarily have to be pop culture. It can just be a little something that you shared. But I thought that was a good story.
Yeah.
You know, let's do that this season. All of us, it's just the time of year to just, you know, think outside of ourselves. Now I'm going to treat myself too, but you know, I treat those around me.
No, she will make sure she buys herself a little gift on the side.
Yes,
but that
is always.
Yeah, subtract from that. She is an intense
it
giver.
It will not minus from the one I'm doing for
you. It will not subtract. Indeed.
Yes.
Perfect.
So our main topic for today,
the juicy stuff,
body image. I feel like a lot of stories happen. And then for me personally, like I've been going through some stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought this is a good conversation to have between generations because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes mm-hmm. the body yeah. image issues, you can have like mothers passing on things to their daughters yeah. without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. And then as you're going through it, maybe sometimes you feel like, oh, well, nobody else can understand, but there are women who have come before you that they can. And then when it also comes to like, I want to do like body image and kind of women's health, because mm-hmm. I think we talked about it like maybe a couple weeks ago and I was telling you the statistics of like, was it you or was it somebody else about the African-American statistics when it comes to childbirth and just like women's health in general? And
I think it was when we saw Burna Boy at the dinner.
Oh, okay.
Were we all not talking?
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe we're talking about it then. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we mm-hmm. were. So, you know, sometimes it's good to have these conversations because even things like fibroids, for example, you wouldn't even know that your grandma, your mother, other women in your family were suffering through that. And then the first time you're going through it, you're wondering what's happening with my body, what's going on. And you didn't even realize, okay, this is something that actually all the women in my family have struggled mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. So I just thought this would be like a good conversation for us to pass on knowledge about first body image. And then if we have enough time, also delve into women's health a little bit. So I actually had two stories that I wanted to mention for the pop culture part. I went with the Georgia one, but Oprah. Okay.
I've not heard.
Okay.
This is new to me.
So Oprah has lost a lot of weight. Okay. I don't know if you'll be old enough to remember, but I feel like Oprah was always like just a regular sized woman. Then she kind of got skinny. Then she gained weight back. But like her entire journey of just the up and down has actually been televised. You can see it all. Like it's been in front page, like in front of the audience of media and us consuming it.
Yes.
So she didn't specifically say she was using Ozempic, but she has lost weight. And at first she didn't come out and said that she was using these new drugs, which pretty much help you to just suppress your appetite. So she does Weight Watchers. I think she's a spokesperson and she owns stock in Weight Watchers. So I don't know if that's why at first maybe she was hesitant because she wanted people to believe that her product was what got her to lose the weight. Only she can answer that for herself. Mm-hmm. But she only now recently, after being out for months, because I remember reading an article and seeing some of the weight that she had lost. And she said, oh, it was discipline and watching what she ate and going for walks. Yeah. And all of that is probably true. Mm-hmm. But she has obviously the added benefit of taking this weight loss drug. And to come to her defense a little bit, people have very strong opinions about Ozempic because there are diabetics that need the drug.
Yeah.
But it's actually a really good drug for women like me because I have actually taken Ozempic too. Mm-hmm. The only thing is I couldn't take it consistently because it's so expensive for me to buy it without insurance. So I was paying like $300 a month for it. Exactly.
Oh.
So it was not sustainable. Like I did it for like maybe 1 or 2 months and then stopped and like maybe I'll do it another month again and then stopped. So I was not consistently using it because it was so pricey. But when I was taking it, I felt like it cured a lot of my issues. I have hormonal imbalance. You've seen it like even in my adult life, like with the acne and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like, the appetite suppression. Mm-hmm. And you already see me at home. Like for the most part, I watch what I eat and then I exercise.
Yeah.
But I will do all those things and it will still be very, very hard for me to lose weight. But I can gain weight by just breathing. Like I'll gain 10 like, pounds just like that
by a blink.
Yep. And it'll happen so fast, and that's like one of the signs like you have some hormonal issues going on. So when I was on Ozempic, I really felt like my skin was clear. Mm-hmm. So even outside of just the weight loss, I felt like it was something that should be prescribed to me. I don't know how much work has been done with them investigating it for hormonal issues with women, but I really feel like it's a breakthrough drug that they need to look into more for women like me that have like the fibroid issues. I have cyst issues.
You have cystic fibrosis?
No, that one's like with your lungs. This is like cysts in your...
Wait, not cystic fibroid, but whatever.
I have fibroids, I have cysts.
I don't know which one PCOS.
I feel like I have PCOS, but I feel like I've not been officially diagnosed with it.
Okay.
Because
a lot of your symptoms sound like PCOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With like the difficulty to keep weight off, mm-hmm. like to lose weight and then to keep it off.
Yeah.
And then like your hormonal, like with mm-hmm. your skin, because you can have hormonal acne. And then also like the appetite thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. it sounds like PCOS.
I think I do, but I've never been. And that's why I think I wanted to tie in the body image thing with the women's health, because I think sometimes when you see a woman that's really struggling with weight like that, mm-hmm. it has to do with health issues.
Yeah.
And when people look like us, sometimes getting diagnosed properly, you have to work harder to get there.
It's harder.
And then because of the stigma of weight being sometimes a Black issue too, I don't feel like it's given as much attention, right? Mm-hmm. Because when a lot of people be like, well, there's a lot of African Americans that are overweight, then when you go into the office seeking help, they're just thinking, oh, she just eats McDonald's all day. She just overeats. And they don't take it as seriously as they should. Like, okay,
when
this person might have
actual health
issues. Exactly. Not everybody is over here eating 6 pizzas a day.
Like,
if you actually know me in real life, it's crazy because I don't eat fufu.
Heavy carbs, yeah, or like just heavy meals a day, and to have it multiple times a day, that's not her.
Yeah.
She balances out her meals for the day. Even indulging, she's not gonna go and smush down 6 donuts, 5 milkshakes, 3 pizzas. Like, what? No.
Yes. So
it's just like her even eating one hefty meal is affected on her body because of her imbalance. Like, it's easier for her to gain the weight, even though she did eat like 2 pieces of pizza, rather than like a healthier body where it's like they'll burn it off. And
exactly.
And it's a health issue. Mm-hmm. So it's not her like voluntarily wanting to keep her body in the mud and do everything terrible. Like, at the same time, she also does take her supplements. She does eat. Or she takes like...
Yeah, I take all my supplements.
Yeah.
I take like the hair vitamins.
Yes.
I do have prescription med. I am on spironolactone and I've been liking that. Oh, it's a diuretic, but it also helps with like getting rid of some of the male hormones. Because when you have like the PCOS and the hormonal issues, you have a higher level of your...
And even like hair. A lot of women with PCOS like grow hair. They'll have like beards or like just have chin hair, a mustache.
Yeah, I have them right here.
Yes. And
I'm
see,
always
plucking
them out.
Oh, really?
When Jackie Aina goes on TV and she's like shaving that stuff and she's talking about, some of us have, I'm like,
yes,
girl.
We do have
hair. Say it, because a lot of women do have it. And it's like this point of us being shameful about it. So I just think, body image issues sometimes are tied to health. And when the person is made to feel like they're not strong enough, they're not good enough. And I think that's kind of what Oprah was saying, like having this drug available for people to be able to take it for the first time, it's like acknowledging that it's not because you're weak. You don't have, you know, a strong self of control and all that.
Because you literally can't help it. Like, that's your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's how your body is.
Because I can lose 50 pounds right now. I'll have to work really, really hard, be very, very strict with what I eat. But I promise you, the moment I get back to eating like I normally now do, I will gain that weight back in like maybe 3 months. So it's like my body just wants to be at that place. And it's like, it's so hard to be, quote unquote, at the goal weight that you want
to
be at.
To have a goal.
So
weight.
I totally get that part. I also want to go over like, so for me, weight has been something I struggled with since I was little. I did track all the way up until I think my junior year or senior year is when I finally stopped. And then once I started college, that is when I started seeing like my weight gaining. Mm-hmm. And then I've kind of gone on that roller coaster. Like, I'll have moments where I lose weight and then I'll have moments where I gain it all back and even more. And then I lose again and then I gain it back. Like, I've just been going through that. But one of the biggest things for me, I think because of like in my track days, I would exercise, lift weights, do all that.
Yeah.
I used to do like 500. I'm just joking now about 500, but a high number of like ab exercises. So my core.
Yeah.
And my friends even used to joke about it because like they'll literally push on my abs and it's like it's pushing back at them because that's how strong like my abs used to be.
You put in the work to have them strong abs.
Oh yeah. I love doing the core work. Like, it was not hard for me. But after kids, I have diastasis recti. And so
I do not know what that is.
So your ab muscles separate. Like they literally split right down the middle.
Oh, it's from carrying a child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus.
So yeah, as your baby is growing or whatever, that's one of the things your body is going to make way for what needs to be there.
God.
And like, I don't know if it was because of maybe how tight my muscles were or how much I don't know what it was. Sometimes I've read that it's genetics too. And I think that it is
probably tied to genetics.
Mm-hmm. So then they rip apart. So like if I did sit-ups right now, you'll see a part of my stomach kind of just bulge out because there's no wall there stopping it from going out. So it's like separated. And the only way to bring it back together is to have surgery.
Oh, wow.
And then get this. The American healthcare system does not cover repair for diastasis recti.
Surgery?
Yeah. They will cover like reconstruction if you had breast cancer, right?
Uh-huh.
They will cover like other things. But for the life of me, I cannot figure out why that is not something that my insurance can cover. And you know, somebody that's in the insurance industry needs to explain to me. Maybe a lot of women end up having it, and then they feel like they're going to
cover it for every single woman.
That they're going to have to cover it for a lot of people. But I'm like, this stuff is necessary because obviously I want to have surgery to fix it. Mm-hmm. And it's like really the only thing about my body that I've ever felt like I've been very, very insecure about, my midsection. Because I will exercise. I can have my arms be toned, my legs. I love my legs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has like mad nice. They're super nice. They're toned.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. It doesn't matter if she hasn't been exercising or whatever. They're always toned. She got it for real.
Yeah, so it's just my abs.
Yeah, like, but then at the same time, I remember you said that while we were in Dallas or whatever. Also, when you look at the women in our family, mm-hmm. like our midriff and our midsection is like our problem, not problem area, but it is the area that no matter how much we try, mm-hmm. it bounces right back to what it wants to bounce back to, and it's like hard.
But I think a lot of us had diastasis. I think the women
genetically have, anyway. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying, like, I feel like part of it is genetics too, and that it just never got repaired or fixed. But I'm like, I needed to come back together. I'm not trying to have like the extra etched on abs, or I just want my abs to come back together. Like, that's it. That's all I want.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, I didn't know it was a thing either until I had children, because I was trying to figure out, like, I could literally lay down here and put my entire hand in between my stomach, right?
What the freak? That is so eerie.
Yes. Like, it's what? So weird. Like, I feel like I can play with my insides because there's this space there. So I would like, I know it sounds so gross.
She just said,
but like, you're playing like with your intestines and stuff. Like, if I lay on my back flat, like, I will put my hand there and there's space there. So it's like, I can move things around. Mm-hmm. You've never had that. So you will never feel it right now.
But it's like, what?
Like, your abs separate. Like, because I remember when I was pregnant with my son, I will feel the pulling and the stretching. And I'm just like,
really? Like, intensely.
Yeah, it will hurt. And I guess that's when it was even probably ripping even more. I feel like I carried him so low that it was constantly like pulling. Like, I would just feel the
That's very traumatic.
Yeah, they don't tell you about all these changes that happen in the name of, you know, bringing life into this world. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, because, you know, women are, we bring life, like, we carry another human being. So obviously our body is going to literally be like reconstructed. But
yeah, so I guess just seeing Oprah, even at her age, like, you know, she's somebody I've looked up to all my life. So seeing that, you know, body image is still an issue for her, and she's still working through that, I'm just like, we just have to be more gracious, because she's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, she could actually go and get whatever surgery she wants. But clearly, as you can see, she'll rather work hard and try and do the best that she can. So if she takes this drug and it's helping her, I don't see why she needs to be demonized for it. She shouldn't have held that information. I think now it makes her look like she was lying, or, you know. But I understand the insecurity. Like, we always have to remember there's a little girl in every woman.
Everybody.
So it doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter if she's a billionaire or whatever. There's still a little girl in her, and sometimes you don't know all the memories that she has carried because of her weight and the things that she has had to deal with privately and in public too. So
she is like a public figure too.
Exactly. So even by her admitting,
and like
that,
and body dysmorphia is a thing.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I guess maybe in our culture we get to experience more of like people easily calling us fat. Remember, like, the body shape that everybody wants now, there was a time when they considered that fat.
Yeah.
With the big butt, the big boobs, and now
rounded hips.
Yeah.
Everybody wants hips.
Everybody wants that look now.
Yeah. So,
body dysmorphia, we should talk about it, because I feel like it's something that more of our like Caucasian counterparts. Do you feel like black women have body dysmorphia?
I don't think so. I have body dysmorphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about it.
Well, basically, it's like, it would just be whatever I saw in the mirror. Like, I denied it so much and literally morphed my body every time I looked in the mirror. But then to hear that maybe like somebody compliment my arms, but I really hate my arms. I think my arms are big and flappy. But then in reality, like, they don't even look like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like the projection of me not looking like the body type meant that I was this big fat slob. So
it was, where did the body type that you were measuring yourself, where did that come from?
It came from, literally came from like my idols I used to look up to. Mm-hmm. And I was like a big music girl. So to see that I was like, what, 15 and didn't look like Beyonce when she was 15, or didn't look like, oh, a younger version of Rihanna. I loved Rihanna, da da da. And it's like, oh, well, something's wrong with me, right? So then I would look in the mirror and just be like, oh, ew. And then it took me a while to even like build up self-confidence in the area of my body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at school at the same time also, it was like at school, I was in like a predominantly white institution. Mm-hmm. So it was a bunch of, you know, Caucasian girls who are, you know, littler than me. And it was like, I wasn't even fat. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't even mm-hmm. like obese or anything. I wasn't overweight for my age or anything. But to see that I didn't look like them, and then mm-hmm. to also hear it from girls who looked like me, I was like, they could call me big body or girl, move over, you're too like big, you finna break, da da da. And I was like, oh wow. And then that got to me. Mm-hmm. And then when I was young, like I was a type of person to like laugh at it, like make it a joke or whatever. And then like when you said to make the joke before somebody else
make
can,
it about you. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you would just like alter to hear things like that as well. Mm-hmm. But I really think it was just like, you know, just projecting. Mm-hmm. But then to hear things like that and then come home and have to look at my body, I would let those things like, you know, rumble in my head when I would see myself in the mirror. When at the end of the day, you really don't even look like that. So
you just enlightened me today, because I don't know why for the life of me, I always felt like body dysmorphia was something that our Caucasian sisters fought with a lot more. Really? And I didn't feel like the statistics probably do show mm-hmm. that it's more, but I didn't even mm-hmm. think and into think like it was even that close, like with you even experiencing it. Mm-hmm. But I just always, I don't know, for whatever reason, put it in my mind like, okay, well, we don't worry about that. But
yeah, we do.
You think it's because also you went to a PWI?
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
Because, and then it was also again, like to hear it from the girls, but then to see that, like that's what all the boys like the girls that looked the same mm-hmm. or looked a certain way mm-hmm. and it was minus like, because it was even like, you know, black girls who didn't have the same body type as me.
And we have to talk about that.
Yeah,
we have to talk about sometimes the black girls that exist in the PWIs that end up fitting in so much mm-hmm. to that standard and mm-hmm. that ideal. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of somewhat then make you feel like, okay, if I don't fit into that, what's my excuse? What's my problem? Because she looks just like me. Like,
and yeah,
she's like, an African girl,
you feel
just
alienated.
Like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, it was just such a weird place. Obviously, like I can never be white. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I can never look like a white girl. But then here I am like as a black girl. And then to see the black girls in school that did, like you were saying, fit in the most. Mm-hmm. Be so close yet so far, because it's like I didn't look like them, even mm-hmm. though I am a black girl as well. Yeah, it was just such a mental mm-hmm. war zone, to be honest.
And so, where are you at now?
Now, I will say, like, I try my best to, I don't say I really like intensely engulfed in my body dysmorphia, but I am on the outer parts. Like I try my best to love my body for what it is mm-hmm. and take care of it for what it is. But it's not even just like the taking care of it part, because I really do think body dysmorphia is literally how you see your body.
How you see yourself.
How your mind meshes with your body and mm-hmm. or the lack thereof if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So I just look at myself in the mirror and then just know that where I am like right now, or the body I was given, I try to tell myself that to love my body because it functions. Like I'm a healthy human being. Mm-hmm. I'm 18 years old and I'm very thankful for not having so many like bodily issues or conditions mm-hmm. that my body functions for the way it does mm-hmm. and I have energy. I wake up in the morning and my heart beats and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think another thing is like not being so focused on the actual image of your body, mm-hmm. but to just know that I have a body.
On health.
Yeah. And on health, on like the way my body functions. Like I always mm-hmm. just think about that, and then just doing things for my overall health that yeah. will show in my body image. And it's mm-hmm. like taking care of all the aspects rather than being pinpointed, oh, I gotta get these abs in. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, my quads need to be da-da-da. And mm-hmm. there's people who are like that, you know, gym rats, do what you want to do. Yeah. But it's just like at the same time, people can function from that way and not have a problem with their body image.
We don't talk enough about how somebody can be going to the gym every single day and
also
can have an
have
eating disorder.
Dysmorphia. Yeah. Like just take the creatine and the pre-workout and then not eat all day. Yeah. So, and also some people go to the gym like multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That in itself can actually be, but because the person is quote unquote doing something healthy, mm-hmm. people don't question it. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of people that are hiding in that space of like, you know, because I go to the gym, nobody's going to question the fact that I probably do have disordered eating. Like, yeah.
That I'm healthy.
They just assume gym equals healthiness.
Weight equals health.
The big girl that you see now entering McDonald's, like, oh, here she goes again. Can't she go to the gym?
Oh, and that was another thing. Like, I was thinking about even like going to the gym or exercising in general. I was like, going to the gym, it's hard for me to be consistent with it. I just feel like it's a test of my self-discipline, and I try to push it every time I do go. But I was saying, I was on Instagram and I was on the reels, and there was this like heavier set girl who was at the gym, and she posted a before and after photo. She had lost like 20 pounds, but her body shape was still the same. So she was like heavy in both before and after, but she was just healthier in the after one. And she...
And you don't know how hard she worked to lose those 20
literally
pounds.
And she was literally like, oh, I love to see my progress. And, you know, her glutes were a little rounder, but it's, she didn't look any different from the first one. And then you see in the comments, it's like, course. Girl, did you even go to the gym? Did you even try? Where's the after picture? And I'm like, wow. Like, it was so frustrating. It was so ugly to see. Those people who like are in the comments, like, if you saw her in the gym, little, like, she's in the same place as you. She's bettering herself just as you are pumping those 50-pound dumbbells. She's... She could be doing the same. So I don't understand.
And like we said, with the hormonal imbalances, for you to lose 20 pounds with hormonal issues going on,
and be
that is like you losing 50 pounds for a regular person.
Literally.
You cannot understand what you don't understand.
At all. And it's people who are like fitness influencers.
That's what I'm saying. That's because they're good at the gym does not mean that they have a good, like you're saying, body image.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not generalizing. It's not good to generalize. But I'm just saying us assuming that because somebody goes to the gym means all of a sudden now... They have a better way of thinking. They don't have like the body dysmorphia issues.
And it was literally those kind of people in the comments, like fitness influencers. As I'm like, she's in the gym just as much as you are.
You want to know one of the funniest things that happens?
Yeah, what?
When I used to go to the gym, I used to go to Planet Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like on a treadmill or on the Stairmaster. I'll just be on some equipment. And here comes little Mary Little Susan. Okay? Because Susan now has assessed me. But Susan doesn't know I used to be an athlete. So little Miss Susan wants to feel good about herself now. So maybe I'm just taking a little jog and I'm just like at maybe three or something. Here comes Susan now. She wants to show me, oh, I'm skinnier than you and I'm more fit than you.
Oh my God.
And so now she starts increasing. I'm like,
an incline.
But then the way she's looking at me, I'm like, oh, so this is the game we want to play?
All right.
Okay, Susan, we got this. So now I'm increasing my speed too. And I'm increasing the incline too. Because remember, I used to be an athlete. I don't know if you just started working out last week, but because you're skinnier, you assume that you're healthier than me, right? So let's go, Susan. So now here we are. And we're pumping and pumping. And then I'm seeing Susan is out of breath. I'm like, oh no, Susan, come on. Come on, Sue.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, come on, Susan. Come on,
Susan. Mary Lou.
Let's do this, Mary Lou. So now Susan is pissed because she came here to show off, but now I'm giving her a account for her money. And before you know it, she has left the machine. I'm like, oh no, come on. Let's do it again.
You're a competitive spirit.
Yes. I don't, like, that happens to me so many times. And I think we don't talk about that enough. Like, you want to tell somebody, go to the gym, but then you don't talk about how sometimes how people, even without saying anything, makes you feel when you're at the gym.
Oh, yeah, I know
and
that.
You are of a heavier set. Because, yeah, a lot of those women, and that's why I said Susan, because you're going to know what persuasion they were off. Will come to me, next to me, and just assume that, oh, because I am... I weigh less than her or whatever. I am more fit than her. No, you're not. Don't let this body fool you. Because again, you don't even know that I used to be an athlete. You don't even know that, I used to be forced to run like that. I will push myself to run like that. So if you want to compete with me, let's go.
Yeah.
So
like, let's do it.
Yeah. It's just that, come in there, mind your business, do your thing, but don't be in there looking at somebody. Don't make a face when you see somebody.
Yeah. And then to see, like we were saying, like such people in such high places even have mental and bodily struggles to like, and then it's always refreshing to hear them speak out about it.
Like Nicki Minaj recently.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj.
She said she regretted changing her body. And I think she actually did reverse her breast augmentation.
Yeah, she got a breast reduction.
So it was good to hear that because let's be honest, she made the BBL what the BBL became.
Yeah.
She's one of those ones, like when she came out and she had that thing, then all of a sudden.
Like, thang.
Yeah. So it's also very important too when I feel like somebody's a celebrity and they know that, okay, I have done something that's affected a bunch of women and how they view themselves and see themselves, that you also come back on the other end of that and tell that story too. And that's very important. So, you know, then, she did right on that one.
Yeah.
And that's good. So listen up to the young girls, especially because, you know, the musicians, they influence you. You listen to them more than you even listen to your probably parents or the people around you. No, for real. Because think about it. If you have headphones in and you're constantly listening to their music, their lyrics and the things they're saying, they're affecting you even more than the people that you are with in real life. So when you see that image and then you think, oh, well, the person that I follow or I like the most, they got this done. So I needed to. Like this trend of these young girls getting like Botox, I cannot understand it for the life of me. But I know that there has to be young celebrities. We won't name names, but we all know them that have done these procedures at such a young age and that now the girls just think that it's okay.
Yeah. And it's
that
just
I'm getting
like
Botox at 22, 23. Like what?
Because when you get 30, girl, you finna look 52.
It makes you look older. That's what they don't realize.
Quote unquote natural contour. I don't know why we need it, but your buckle fat literally reduces as you grow older. Why are you already looking like a skeleton at 23?
I don't know.
You get to 42, what are you gonna look like?
Yeah.
Then what?
It's just too much.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the things we see. So when celebrities sometimes don't hold themselves accountable, like after you have affected culture like Nikki's doing, then at least come back and be like, you know what? I didn't even need that stuff.
Yeah.
And for the people that followed me, I'm sorry that you, again, everybody has self-control. You shouldn't be following because somebody did something, but so at least I'm acknowledging
nobody
that.
Nobody should influence you that I much mean, where you go and get booty shots because your fave did.
Yeah, that's just, but it's culture. Right?
It's a cultural thing.
Effect. So I think there was a time when certain women, black women in the music industry probably did that because they felt like that's the look that sold.
Right? Yeah.
And then maybe their star power rises a little bit and then they equate that to, oh, because I changed my body.
I hit my body.
That's why I got more famous because then everybody was looking at me.
So like now that. The average person thinks that because they can also change their body, like it will do something for them.
Yeah, because until I moved down south, I didn't know that a lot of people in my profession, a lot of people in nursing had BBLs. Really? And then I moved and I was like, what's going on?
Oh, that's
why?
Not...
You would never guess that. But there are a lot of people that's in my not... field who have that. And I was like, it has to be a cultural thing because there has to be like that one nurse that did it and then the next nurse did it. And then, you know, and then next you know, that's how it works. Then you're looking at yourself and thinking, oh, okay, everybody that I'm working with has
doing it. Yeah. My turn.
My turn. But yeah, women's health.
Oh yeah, yes.
Because you know, this is a cross-generational conversation, right? That we try to have.
Yes.
You have seen me go through some of the struggles, well, at least heard about some of the struggles I do with women's health. So do you have any questions, I guess, that I could answer since I've been on this end, things that I can partake to you?
Okay, so like you were talking earlier about how you would see your body changing and feel all the changes and effects, like, but was like the shock of not knowing what's going on. I would say because you're older than me, I'm only 18. My body hasn't reached all its marks and everything that it's going to yet. But we both do share like skin issues, like problems with like dermatitis. So we have like dermal issues. And I remember when my body first broke out in its first intense like skin breakout, I was literally like, I didn't know what it was. Like I was scared. And it was such like a dark place thinking that like it was never going to be fixed.
Get better.
So, and then to hear all like, you know, the conditions that you have and had had to face for the first time, like what was it that, you know, because it's not like everything hit you at once. When everything did hit you, like since you said you were in college and then now you're also like 35 going through some things, it's like, what is it like when you were going through those first shock changes, where were you thinking? I just want to know that if it's normal because you're also an adult now and then at the same time to be prepared for myself, or what is it in our family history that, you know, other than the fibroids that I could also, you know,
look for?
So
for like even the body image issues, I have good days and I have bad days. I have days where I'm like looking at myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love everything I see. And then I have other days where, like I said, a big part of my insecurities and issues is my midsection. So like if I wore a dress and I'm like, well, this dress would have been killer except for my stomach, like that kind of thing, then I'll feel a certain way. As I've gotten older, I've learned to not stay in those places. So maybe I'll have a day where it's off, but I'm very intentional about making sure like the next day I pick myself back up and I'm not staying in this place where I'm feeling some kind of way all because of my, you know, tummy area and all that. But like everything else, it just gradually happened. And I wish I would have paid attention more. So like, for example, with the fibroids and all that, like my periods just progressively just got really bad. But it's not like I just woke up and it was bad. So it would have been me paying attention, like keeping track literally of the number of days that you have your period for. So like I used to always be a 3-day girl. And I remember when I was younger, some of my friends
used to be like,
what the heck? 3 days? Like that's it. But come to find out, even it, like, everybody has different lengths, but sometimes even it being really short is also a sign that you're going to have, like, hormonal issues later on down the line. So, like, the days are different for everybody, but keep track of what yours is.
That is true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then when I'll go from, like, 3 days and now I'm having them for 5 days and, like, the pain has gotten so much worse and everything else, I just wish I had paid attention enough to myself to have caught things on early. And sometimes that's where, like, as women, you have to advocate for yourself. So right when you notice that change, you know, go and see your doctor and just let them know. I went from 3 to 4. I know it's not a big deal right now, but 3 is usually what I'm at, and this has been my normal. So for me to now go to 4, is there anything going on? And I think even on the practitioner side, because I practice as a nurse, we have to remember that guidelines are there as a generalization, but it does not dictate for the person individually. What do I mean by that? If I see Mariama every year and she has a baseline and I have observed what that baseline is, when I look at her labs next time and there has been a jump, even if that jump does not mean that now she's not in a range that's, you know, ringing off the alarms, in a range that's not part of, like, the standard, that is still abnormal for Mariama. Because guess what? It wasn't exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of practitioners, they'll be like, okay, the number that we normally treat is 7. Okay, well, you are at a 6.5. So no, really, you don't meet it. But if Mariama was always sitting at a 3 and now she's at a 6, that is a big jump. So, yeah, she's not in the range that you would normally treat it, but it needs to be treated.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes a lot of people miss that mark because they don't learn how to individualize the care that we give. We just use the stats. And we just use the references. And that's what we use, like, as a, whatchamacallit, a generalization for everybody. And everyone's health is different.
Everyone's health is not, it's not a generalization that we should all be in the same range.
Yes.
Like what she's saying, like, for someone to even have a jump when they've been consistent. And then it's like, well, let's look at this. It needs to be looked at.
And the practitioners that treat that, I love them for it. Because I've had those who have told me point blank, period, you're not within the range. Yeah, it's borderline, but we're not going to treat it. And then I've had those who will be like, okay, a jump is a jump and that's out of the norm for you. So we're going to look at it.
To look into it. Yeah.
So that's one of them. Two, I tell everybody, regardless of if you're a woman or not, like, you are the first doctor to your body. You know your body more than anybody else. So keep track of things.
Yeah, with my friends the other day.
Yeah. It would be amazing to me. Like, somebody will go to the doctor's office and they'll be like, have you noticed any signs or symptoms? No. Anything that's, no. Like, you should be able to pinpoint.
Yeah, they ask you because you're the one with the body. You come and see the doctor.
Yes, you're the expert of your body. But a lot of people go to the doctor and they're expecting them to now decipher everything
wrong with them.
When literally all they do is they ask you questions, and based off those questions, then they
match.
You.
Yeah.
Then they can say, okay, I want to test this. So I want to look at this. So if you are not an expert of yourself, how do you expect them to give you the best care possible?
Yeah.
So yeah, you should know, okay, 2 days before my period, I usually feel this kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, 1 day after my period, I usually have a headache. When, this and this is happening, I do this. So that way when something is off.
We have like the markers. Yes. Because I have my markers when my period's on its way. It's like my skin breaks out. Okay, so I don't have like a bunch of acne anymore, but I get some pimples. I'm like, all right, my period is on its way. And then I go look at my app and it says it's like you're 3 days away. And I'm like, all right, so it's coming. And then it's like, I get a little moody or I get super exhausted out of nowhere because I feel like my energy levels, even that in itself, I struggled with. I don't know why, but after like my skin and everything, all the medicine I was taking a lot of steroids. I like prednisone and everything. So it kind of messed with me a little bit. And so after I got back to like my normal, I now know like me getting exhausted out of nowhere is like a sign that like my peer is on its way or that it's coming. And so I was talking about this with my friends. We were all talking about this the other day. Like my friend asked, because she was feeling sick and she was like, do you guys have markers like when you're feeling like a certain type of way that you know when your body's not right?
Exactly.
And then we were just like sharing and then we just dove into it. But yeah, it's very important to know your body
before. We need to have more of those conversations.
Yeah. And then at the same time, you sharing them, you can see the similarities. And it's like, okay, yeah, me too.
And especially with family members. Sometimes with us, the mothers don't have the conversation with the daughters. And so then you're not preparing her for what could possibly happen to her.
I know I didn't have much of those conversations with my mom, and then I would have more of those conversations with you, and then it would just be like, oh, so this is why this,
you know, mm-hmm. happened. Like, oh my gosh, my aunt had it too. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I was super scared that it was just me because my mom doesn't have skin issues, like the dermal issues that I had. So it was just me. My sisters don't have it. But then my aunt would share some, and we kind of like saw the similarities in there. Yep. We shared together. But yeah, it's very important to just talk about things. Yes. I feel like.
So.
Also, I thought it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I thought like it was scary to even show
skin
my
skin issues
mom.
Affect your self image. They affect your body image. Yeah. Affect how you see yourself in general. Because yeah, outside of just, oh, my body doesn't look the way I want it to look, like your skin, like that's like the biggest organ of your body.
But yeah, it was like breaking out all of my arms. And it was the pain also. Like I just thought it would never go away. And then I was like mad at myself because I thought it was something I did. And it was just like, because still to this day, I really don't know what triggered it. But it's just like that it happened. And then my mom didn't know what it was. Doctors didn't know what it was. They thought I had scabies. They were diagnosing me with all these things. And then they put me on
from one thing to another.
Yeah. They put me on medicine that helped it for a while, but then it would come back up. But now, like, it dwindled away. And then also venturing out. Like, my aunt always calls me a boho girl. But, like, holistic health and, like, holistic living is something that I, as I grow older, yeah, I feel like I will dive into it more. And it has definitely helped me as well. Like, I take
Well, you got me taking CMOS.
I got her taking CMOS, y'all. And it's so good because there are certain herbs. Like, there's a CMOS that I would take with Budok. Is it? Yeah, burdock root.
Burdock,
elderberry. And that's a whole combination good for inflammation. And then it was like, well, that's like the basis of dermatitis is like your skin and your body is inflamed. So I would take it. And ever since then, I haven't had a flare up. I have my flare ups here and there. That's also another thing when my period comes, like my skin gets patches.
And
like
skin issues sometimes. I feel like when you have the skin issues, part of the reason why you end up feeling depressed and feeling bad is sometimes how people will treat you. Like I know that I've shared before what my skin issue was with certain people and then the look. Oh, you're not going to catch it. It's just my body overreacting
your
to something.
Body's like flaky.
I don't have leprosy.
Oh, that's not.
Like the way like they pull back and then they looked at me, I'm like, it's not contagious. Like I even got to the point where I wouldn't even share with people that I have certain like what my skin issues are and all that because I'm like, I don't need none of that. The judgment. Because like maybe some people will think, oh, maybe she doesn't wash her skin as much.
Yeah, I'm not dirty. Because, like, dang.
Yeah. So all the preconceived notions that comes with it.
About saying it out loud, I'm not dirty, but was it affecting your face?
Your face, my scalp. So like, yeah, sometimes like even with the scalp, like I need to actually wash my hair every other day for it to be the way I want it to be for it to. That's why like when I used to do weaves, I stopped doing them because the braids will be in for so long. And when I take it out, like sometimes my scalp will be bleeding or it will have. I need my scalp free. I need that free and I need to be able to go in and do what I have to do and wash it every other day at least and do all that. So, you know, if somebody sees my scalp and like maybe some of the skin is coming off or, you know, my face is looking a certain way. Or
yeah, that's another thing. Like, you're afraid.
My body has discoloration. Like,
Yeah, the hyperpigmentation.
To the highest.
Oh.
My face has always belonged to somebody else.
Wow.
Because like the rest of my body is like one skin tone. Yeah, and then my face has always been like 3-5 shades darker.
Yes, because I didn't really have the effects of it, the flare up on my face. But if anything, it's just like also just being afraid that somebody's going to see it. So I would cover up and it would be like springtime and I'm wearing like long sleeve and everything. It's like, Mimi, oh, you're not hot. No, I'm not hot. So yeah, and also like the weather would affect it. So it was just like, you know, the cover up and everything. But the effects, like after everything like had calmed down, it's the marks and the hyperpigmentation. Your body like doesn't even look the same. I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And then it's also like, this is gonna take forever to go
to
away.
Heal.
It's never gonna heal.
So then I'm trying to heal the hyperpigmentation on my face, and then I'm doing stuff, and then I'm probably doing too much stuff, and then that triggers to being darker, and then I'm getting more pimp. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's an art form that I haven't mastered yet at 35. So
come on now.
Don't worry. As I learn, I will teach you and it'll get better. But I think as we wrap up this episode, let's just remember like body image, everybody goes through their stuff.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if somebody's a billionaire. It doesn't matter if somebody is super famous or whatever. Everybody has their issues. So yes, we should be understanding. We should be kinder to each other. But I think more importantly, we need to have conversations that help to normalize things so that people don't feel so otherly and out of the place.
Having an insecurity in your body image, like everybody has insecurities, but then to just walk around life to act like everyone doesn't have have a insecurity about it, that it's like, it's when it's not talked about, I mm-hmm. feel like that's when you can dig deeper in your insecurity.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't we all just talk about it or help each other so we can all be confident mm-hmm. and all feel our best. Even if the girl next to me doesn't have the same body type as me, mm-hmm. it's like,
we all deserve it
either way. Yeah. We all deserve it mm-hmm. to be.
If you have a six pack and you look super slim or whatever, you deserve to be happy. If that girl has a curvaceous body and she's mm-hmm. a size 14 and she deserves to be happy.
Yeah.
It's not because, oh, I have to work hard to look like an ideal that you made that choice, but then the other person doesn't look like your quote unquote mm-hmm. ideal, but now you think they deserve judgment. No. And a lot of times we're just passing on cruelty.
Yeah, because like, at the end of the day, again, what we were talking about, you don't know why she looks the way she looks. She literally could be trying her best and she feels and mm-hmm. actually is healthy. Because she's not your healthy doesn't mean that she needs to be treated any kind of other way or any differently.
Yeah.
So.
And you want to know one moment for me before we go? Mm-hmm. I want to share this story. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I always used to look up to Oprah and mm-hmm. I still do. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was doing my blog in the past when I used to blog, there was something I posted on Instagram and I referred to her as auntie. Mm-hmm. And then other people started referring to her and Gail and everybody else as auntie. So it kind of like picked up and it became this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, I think her and Ava DuVernay were interviewed or something and they asked them one of the things they don't like. And she said she didn't like being called auntie. Okay. And I thought to myself, when I even used it, it was because of that African perspective, like because she's always been somebody that I looked up to or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that thing humanized her for me. I think I've always like had Oprah like on this pedestal, like, oh my gosh, she accomplished so much as a woman. But then I was like, you know what? Her age might be something that she's insecure about. Like she might feel like when we get to a certain age, regardless if she's Oprah, she's gonna get treated differently. And she didn't want that otherly, because remember, she has had weight issues already, so she's already felt that, and then now people are going to treat her differently again because of her age. Like she didn't want it, but like I had to put myself in her shoes, because at first I was like, what does she mean by that? Like, of course it's a sign of respect, it's a sign that we look up to them or whatever, but she's like, please don't call me auntie and all that. I was like, okay, you know what, there's a human being in there and she has her struggles just like we do. So I leave you with that little story, because just remember, no matter who that person is, sometimes for us women is that comparison. I'm not a person that really compares myself to other people, because I really feel like a lot of things about my life is very abnormal, so it's not good for me to even compare it to others. But sometimes like some girls, they will look at you and be like, oh, okay, she has this and I don't have it, she has this and I don't have it, well, at least my stomach is flat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna look for that one but. And it will be the same thing with like Oprah. I'd be like, well, she has money, she has this, but she ain't got the body. And but now you use that to taunt
like
her. And
she
now that's the thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing now that you use to taunt that person. So then you make them feel some kind of way because, oh, their stomach is now.
It's just evil.
We have to be honest. That's how some girls are. Some girls, some women, there are grown women that act like that too. But yeah.
Because they're still acting like a little girl. When you think about it, like, girl. What are you doing?
Hey, look at us. We almost left without giving our song of the week.
Oh, song of the week.
What is our song of the week today?
That's a good question.
Oh, yes. The new Tem song. And that one.
Angel?
Grew. Yeah.
I haven't heard
it
yet.
I'm not an angel. I think I like the offbeat of like, it's like on the, oh my gosh. I used to know better terms when I used to actually be in music class. But it's like the beat did not drop like on the beat. It's a little off. So then it's like a stagger. Like,
I know boom, what you mean.
Boom. Like, yeah, but it's not
I,
on,
I forgot
yeah.
what it's called, too.
But I think that's what kind of threw off me beat. Off a little. I think it is
off beat. Rhythm or something.
I'm doubting myself.
Something.
But there's a little thing in there with the rhythm. And then, as you know, she produces and writes all her stuff. So the first couple times I heard it, I just felt like she kind of stayed stagnant. Like, I just felt like she needed to switch it up a little bit in the middle or whatever. But then it kind of grew on me. And then the video, oh my gosh.
It's pretty,
it's
right?
so artistic.
It's raw.
She's twerking in the back. Oh, but it's her shadow that's twerking. So you don't actually see her. But it's things like that. Like,
this, okay.
It's still very classy, but it's giving me like Sade Adu vibes, that kind of thing. So, and I think that is one of the artists that even she looks up to. So I can see that. So yeah, Not an Angel by Tems that grew on me and I added it to my playlist this week.
Oh, I will be adding it to mine because I need to hear that song.
Yeah.
My song of the week, I would say Cyanide by Daniel Caesar.
Cesar?
Yeah, Cesar. I just really like that song.
Is it new?
No, it's an older song.
Okay, I need to. I don't know that one.
I just love the way it sounds out of that whole album. Like, I feel like that's the only song that sounds the way it sounds. And my sister always tells me that, oh, Mimi, like, to add on to what my aunt always tells me, oh, you're such like a tropical girl. You always listen to music like you should live on the island. I'm like, okay, girl. But then it's just like, I'd be showing her songs that I like, and it just like, I like feel good, tropical.
You're a vibes kind of girl.
Yeah, I'm a vibe.
Yeah, you're vibes.
Yeah. So yeah, the song is kind of like,
if the song ain't vibing, you ain't liking it.
Period.
Yes, yes, yes.
Point blank. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my song of the week, Cyanide by Daniel Caesar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll go ahead and add that one. And yeah, I guess we will eventually, once we do launch, because we are recording these episodes now prior to us launching. When we do launch, we'll have a playlist with our suggestions from each season. So
True.
You guys will be able to listen to Banta season one.
Soundtrack. Yes.
Yeah, it's our
clay. All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you guys.
We will catch you guys on the next one.
Yes. And you so
you will soon.
Bye-bye.
You just finished an episode of Banta with Tony and Mimi. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Have a wonderful day.
If you or anyone you know are struggling with body dysmorphic disorder, please feel free to view the resources available at bddfoundation.org, or you can call Alsana at 866-375-2410 to access their eating disorders helpline. Thank you, and remember, you are loved.